Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This is Father David, and I'm really glad to have Paul Lorenz. It's a blessing to have you here today so we can discuss a little bit about your wisdom and your perspective, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have Paul, especially because we mentioned you, I think, 2 episodes ago, if I remember, in David's podcast. We were talking about how holy you are.
He is really holy.
He is really holy. If you know Mr. Rogers, I think Paul reminds me of Mr. Rogers.
I love Mr. Rogers. It's just a little snippet. He and I share a very similar thing in that we both have an anger problem. So It's the virtue of patience that gets us through that.
I would not have guessed that, Paul.
I wouldn't have either. Not at all. I don't believe it.
See, honestly. I don't know. Paul reminds me of George Washington. I think about the father of our country, who was a man who was steadfast, who was intelligent, empathetic, loyal. And that's Paul. Paul is the president of our parish council. He's also a sacristan, so he helps prepare mass. Paul is a leader in the men's fellowship, the member of our Legion of Mary. Paul is a dad, a husband. He is just a really good guy.
Yes.
What some people might even call a dude.
Yeah.
Did I use that right?
He's a bro.
He's a bro. Did I use that right? I don't know.
This eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
Dramatic.
It's so dramatic.
It's so dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves.
Well, before we get started today officially, Padre, if you can lead us in opening prayer.
Let's pray.
All right.
Let's pray.
In the name of the Father,
and
of
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you send down your Holy Spirit upon Paul and Delilah and upon me. Guide us in this time together on the podcast. Help us to know your will, to speak about it with all glory to you. We thank you for the blessings we've received, and we dare to ask you for even more. Bless all those listening with us today in their cars, in their kitchens. Bless their hearts and their minds. Bless their souls. In any way they need, keep us, Father, in the palm of your hand. You have forgiven us and redeemed us and loved us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, right? And that obviously can lead into talking about discipleship too, which are two things I think of just getting to know you and how devoted you are to the Holy Spirit. So yeah, what are some things that Catholics really should know when we start talking about the Holy Spirit?
I think the first place I would go with that is he's God. And I think he's often considered like a forgotten God.
Mm-hmm.
We're very comfortable with who Jesus is, but the Holy Spirit is who we have living and dwelling within us mm-hmm. since our baptism. So that kind of is a mind-blowing. We have our Lord living in each and every one of us is something that's just unfathomable when you think about it.
And I've heard that before, Paul. We kind of default to thinking of God as our Father. And you're right. Anyone who has encountered Christ is familiar and very, if not comfortable, confident in Jesus Christ and his presence. And of course, we've talked about on this show many times how really present Jesus is in the Eucharist and the Word of God and among us when we're gathered in his name and the person of the poor. But why do you think it is the Holy Spirit is so often forgotten or at least not considered as much as the Father and the Son?
For me, before I really delved into this part of my faith, it's because Jesus is so visible. We have statues. Mm-hmm. He's present in the Eucharist. We have the stories in the Good News, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of who he is, and he walked the earth and how he lived. And so it's how we experience God's love is through the example of Jesus Christ, Son. But the Holy Spirit is a little bit, it's all there. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
He's present in each and every sacrament. He's present in each and every Mass. And he's present with us now. And it's just, I'm so reliant on my senses. And so That's why it was difficult for me at first.
What kind of helped you overcome that difficulty of forgetting, right, the Holy Spirit in terms of prayer?
In prayer, in terms of how did I get over that difficulty in prayer? Seeing the Holy Spirit work. He's real. I see him work through others. In knowing that the Holy Spirit is present in each and every person, I am challenged to see that in each and every person. And so when that's made real to me by that, through that person's interaction, looking about, you know, who they are, Jesus, that brings the Holy Spirit to life, realizing that the Holy Spirit is moving through that person as well. In fact, I need to yield to what the Holy Spirit is doing in that person.
You know, one of the things that has so impressed me about St. John Vianney over the last year has been the focus on discipleship that so many of our groups have. We have a fellowship of Catholic Christian women. We have the Guadalupanas and the Guadalupanos, the men. The men's fellowship that Paul helps to lead has been reading a book on St. Joseph and often considers what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Paul, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you all have reflected upon in the men's group about discipleship, and specifically how the Holy Spirit helps you in your discipleship.
Oh, thank you. That's a really good question. I think where the first thing I would do is the virtues of St. Joseph are great examples of how we as men can lead in our own lives, how we can be better fathers, better brothers to one another. And each of those virtues, I like courage. To me, that goes back to the boldness that the Holy Spirit quite literally inflamed Peter and the disciples at Pentecost with.
Amen.
And that attribute is kind of what resonates with me as we talk. In every one of these men's lives is a unique opportunity to be a disciple because of whoever they happen to encounter, primarily in their family or circles of friends. Mm-hmm. And there's struggles in that, but there's great victories mm-hmm. on the other side of those struggles. And so it's entering that process in humility and understanding, you know, we haven't figured this out, but together we'll journey together to be better disciples, to be better husbands, to be better brothers, to be better friends, so that we can reflect Christ to others so that they come to know him. That's basically what we have been journeying together to do through this.
That's beautiful. You mentioned courage. I think mm-hmm. of how God doesn't just like, hey, like you're going to live this life and, you know, there you go. Just, I'm not going to help or whatever. But you mentioned like the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. And when we remember that, we're giving that at our baptism, that we are able to have courage with what I've been reflecting on within the past couple weeks. Chilo at the well, he was saying, you are not made with the spirit of fear. Like, we're not made to be fearful. When I was starting ministry at Benedictine, Father Frankie had told me the same thing. I was really nervous, and because I was this little sophomore in college, and I was just scared to like start a women's group or a women's Bible study. And I was scared to hand out flyers to go up to my peers and say, hey, come to this Bible study. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. He looked me dead in the eye and said, you are not made with the spirit of fear. And he took my flyers and he handed them out to this girl. And they had a whole like moment. She was really emotional. And he came back and he was like, that's how you do it. And I was like,
wow.
I know. Like,
that's dramatic, Catholic.
Really dramatic. And I was like, okay. So, and I did. And when I remembered that the Holy Spirit is always with me, I wouldn't say I'm the most extroverted person or the most courageous person, but in turning to the Holy Spirit, that we are given that gift of courage and really can do anything. It's not us. Like, it's God working through us.
Amen. Amen. That's really well said.
Powerful. Yeah.
Thanks, Lila.
Yeah,
I just don't see you as being that shy individual. But
oh, I definitely, Father Frankie, if you're listening to this ever, you changed my life.
That's awesome, Father.
You really did.
Thank you, wow. Father Frankie.
Yes. It was very vivid and memorable and dramatic.
What a cool witness of the Holy Spirit there.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things that really, for me, is what's the dramatic moment or moments that the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something?
Yeah.
And it, obviously, I think if you ask anybody, that's probably a list that's insurmountable. But most recently is probably the best way. about a month ago, we were going to go to Andre's house together as a men's group, which we did. And I wanted to prepare myself by going to the chapel and spend some time with Jesus there, which is just so awesome to do. And as I was going, I saw this man sitting up against the stucco wall of the front doors of the church. And to me, he looks like he was one that was experiencing homelessness. And he says, "Hey, you're going to church to pray?" And I go, "Lord, I want to go into the cool chapel. I want to go and pray, prepare myself." And no, the Spirit prompted me to just stay. And he said, "So, no." I said, "You want to go with me?" And he said, "No, I'm okay here." And so he ended up sitting down with him, and he pulled out a Bible, and he put me into 2 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13 primarily. And what it brought me to was, you know, Paul was complaining or struggling. There's division in the church with the Corinthians, and not to go too much into that, but where it took me was where Paul was trying to get the thorn removed, that he had gone to the Lord three times in prayer, and he said, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you," and that it's in the weakness that where the power of Christ is the best, is the strongest. I'm paraphrasing that scripture, but this whole, he read this to me, it took about 5 minutes, and he shared with me that which was very important for me to hear and why he was there. He was getting ready to go in complete faith, in spite of the fact he had shared his testimony as I drove him to where he wanted to go. His testimony of brokenness in his family and then being called to ministry in California, and he was going on complete faith, not knowing how he was going to get there. But this convicted him, and he says, "I just wanted to share that with you." That was an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and there's many like that, but that's one of the most recent ones that I can definitely tell you, wow, you know, the Holy Spirit was present.
Yeah, and I know you've had like so many of those stories too, like you just coming in, and there's really no explanation other than that is the Holy Spirit. It's not a coincidence that those things kind of happen.
Yeah, and it's awesome because they're well-timed, and certainly not on your plan, not on your list of things to do.
Yeah.
Which makes it very powerful. It's why it's hard to ignore who the Holy Spirit is.
So we have a really diverse group of listeners. We've heard from many of you in our Q&As. We've heard from others in person before and after Mass. And thank you for spending some of your time with us here on Dramatic Catholics. We also are always mindful that there may be somebody listening today with something particular on their heart that they need us to pray for, and that the Holy Spirit is going to guide our guest, in this case, Paul, to comment on, and something that the Holy Spirit may be asking Paul to say to anybody who's listening today, or just a few people even. But that's how important you are to God, that he would move Paul's heart today to speak that truth and wisdom so that you can hear it. So, considering that there may be some men listening to this podcast, guys who are dads or husbands, brothers, sons, buddies, members of a team, etc. I guess, Paul, I'd love to know, in your experience, but particularly the last few years here at St. John Vianney, in your experience as a guy, as a dad, as a husband, what are some challenges to discipleship, particular to a guy, a man, and how has the Holy Spirit helped you to overcome or meet those challenges?
Well, I think the first thing that most of us are challenged with in discipleship is the fear of not knowing if I can move from I have sufficient knowledge or whatever that is to move into discipleship. And that is always a challenge. But where I start with that is we all have a story of why we're here, why the Lord or how the Lord has brought us to where we are in this moment. You can never go wrong with the story of an encounter with Jesus Christ that is your own. That, for me, in listening to other men when I was younger and even to this day, still impacts my faith journey in a marvelous and powerful way, because I get to see again how the Holy Spirit has lovingly and mercifully moved through the lives of these men and through others, but specifically. So if there's no area of brokenness, there's no area of shame, there's no area of sin that God cannot make whole. And I am a testament to that from A to B. You know, most recently with my son, that was a difficult time. But I encountered I encountered the Lord in all that because, I think it was in 2 Corinthians, it's through sorrow that we find joy. And in that difficult time, and I know everyone experienced these things, we all have brokenness in our families, but if we can just walk through, pick up that cross and walk with Christ, and he's walking with us through that. On the other side of it, there's a joy that just can be just, it's hard to explain, but it is there, and it's certainly the joy of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit moving. So I don't know if I helped, but that's one of the things that we encounter is just, first of all, we don't know if we know enough, but yes, you do. You know about your encounter with Christ. Share that and encourage others to share their story with others as well.
I think that's great advice, even if you don't like what you said, especially when you don't feel like you know enough, like you really can't debate your experience that you've had or your encounter that you've had with the Lord.
You know, and Paul, as I mentioned earlier, I really admire you, and I've gotten a lot of wisdom from you. And I want to share with you that it's not always just been by your words, it's been by your presence and the time that you dedicate. You know, Delilah, we see each other often. Mm-hmm. Because we work together here at the parish. And Paul was a very successful businessman during his career, and even now runs a pretty successful baseball card empire.
Nice.
At the end, we'll be able to share a little bit about our social media presence so that people can look for you and know where to find you.
Your socials.
But Paul is not an employee of the parish. He's not on staff. And yet, it's been awesome. We have like a 9 or 10 day street going of seeing each other around church, around campus, in the office, and I'm blessed by that, because everything you've just said, I can tell, is authentic. It's who you are. More than words, it's your actions, it's your presence, it's your time, and that's all love. And so we're just so grateful at St. John Vianney for everything you do and your wisdom. And I'll tell you, as a brother in Christ, I'm grateful for that.
Well, thank you.
Not just as pastor, but as Father David, as a disciple of Jesus. We do strengthen each other, and everything that Delilah and Esmeralda give me on this show, and hopefully in a small way I can bring to the parish as well. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you as well. It goes back the other way too. I see the presence of Christ here, and I see it in you, in every person here. But Father, thank you.
I'm going to ask you what we ask many of our listeners when they come on. What does it mean to be a dramatic Catholic to you?
To let Jesus be known in all aspects of my life, regardless of the perceived obstacle I see in front of me. But to say I am my own worst enemy, the perception is obviously is a lie, but there are daily and sometimes moment-to-moment opportunities to be Catholic, to bring, and the Lord has given me so many opportunities. You know, outside of the church here, there's a professional Bible study that I am involved with men who are not Catholic on Friday mornings at 7 a.m. We've been meeting since 2011.
What makes you professional? Like, do you guys take sponsorships? Is there some, like, NIL deal that you guys are working?
We're claim professionals.
I love that. I love that.
But yeah, there are a number of men that are involved in the world of accounting. So that's right up your...
I love accounting. Queen of the sciences.
So we have a number of CPAs and
yes!
guys in that group.
It's the best.
But we have known each other since 2011, and it's a great way, another great way. There's so many Holy Spirit moments in that group in itself. But to answer your question, there's just the Lord provides just so many great ways in which to be dramatic with our Catholic faith. And it's just get over myself, right? Mm-hmm. Move. He's got there for a reason, and just let the Holy Spirit be in the center of that. Take yourself out. As John said, in order for him to increase, I must decrease. Mm-hmm. And that's something I always have to keep in mind.
When it comes to trusting the Holy Spirit, what would you give like as a piece of advice to people who need to grow in trust?
Listen, we often try, it's hard to have silence. You know, I like the scripture, be still and know that I am. Mm-hmm. But it's uncomfortable. But when we truly just are being still in the moment and looking for Christ, the Holy Spirit, to show up, he will. But am I willing to surrender the moment, or am I going to? I think that's the biggest challenge for all of us, is we're so plugged in to the world. Isn't the noise? It's hard to really say, oh, I just You don't even know if you missed the God moment, right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is working in all the time, is working us, working around us, and he's working everywhere around us. Am I willing to just be quiet and to turn myself off and to unplug? And I really try to do that moment to moment. It's being present to the person in front of me and listening to what they have to say, because the Holy Spirit is moving in them. And sometimes it's our own. The people closest to us are the hardest ones to do that with. So in my own family, my wife, my friends.
And a big shout out to Debbie, who hopefully is listening to this. She's awesome, too.
She is awesome.
Your wife is awesome.
Thank you.
Hi, Debbie.
Very blessed. Hi, dear. But very blessed to have her. But thank you. Yep.
I think you are great at being present. When I look back, I think I met you when I was in high school. I think we were on a retreat or something, but it was here at the parish. And I was sitting down, and I don't remember what you... I think you just asked me how I was doing. And I ended up sitting there, and I think I was crying outside the Grand Hall on one of the benches. I don't even know what it was about. But I remember leaving and thinking, like, how does this man, like, care? Like, the fact that you just cared enough to just tune everything out and just ask me how I was doing, and obviously whatever it was, it just meant a lot. So I think what you were saying, like, your presence means a lot, and you're a really great example of that.
Good. I strive to be present to people. But it's eye-opening, because when you do, you get to see so much of who they are.
Yeah.
And we all are walking through this broken world together, and we need to hear one another. We need to pray for one another. We really need to be present, and it's so hard. I know I have a hard time doing it. It's really a discipline that has reaped tremendous rewards through the workings of the Holy Spirit, no doubt about it.
I love it. That is awesome. Paul, a question that sometimes posed to me, and I feel like we've covered it here, but I'd love to hear, what's a book that you recommend for our listeners?
Wow.
It can be religious. It can be a novel.
It can be non-Catholic.
It can be.
It can be. There's several, but one that really has helped me, especially in the area of really encountering Christ in others, is listening and reading books by Francis Chan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who he is.
I don't.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was listening to a video and they mentioned Francis Chan too.
Hmm. Yes. And he is a non-Catholic minister. Mm-hmm. He was actually at the Alpha Conference pre-pandemic. But along with Father Mike Schmitz, mm-hmm. with that was beautiful. But he has a book and a series that I've taken the men through. It's called Forgotten God. It's not anti-Catholic, so I tell you that because it's one of the things that I always am sensitive to. But he's quite the contrary. I pray that he converts, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But it is a really rudimentary encounter with who the Holy Spirit is, who he isn't. Why do I want the Holy Spirit in my life? That's another question, mm-hmm. that I think, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And because we have him in everything we do. Take a look at all the sacraments at Mass. You know, he is directly involved at the consecration of the Mass. But he's involved in each and every one of, and intimately wants us involved with him. He wants that deep relationship. And there was something in the presentation in that book, maybe it was the questions that were asked, but getting in the Word, in reading anything, Acts of the Apostles is my favorite book in the New Testament, because through it, the church blew up. Through the Holy Spirit, the church just explodes.
Yeah.
And we have this fearful Peter who's, I identify with him quite a bit, but a person that denies Christ three times, quite literally is cowering or hiding or waiting in this room in Jerusalem during Pentecost. In the moment the Holy Spirit comes upon him, he has the boldness, mm-hmm. to proclaim who Jesus is. And to me, it just, in seeing all the thousands that were converted, and the Holy Spirit was moving in the people there because they could have killed Peter at the time for what he was proclaiming, and yet the Holy Spirit moves upon the lives of those, and they said, well, how do we, like, show us what to do? They're kind of like, they're at wit's end. But then they repent, and they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it goes You know, it's so Francis Chan's book is called Forgotten God, and it has a lot of some fundamental things that were very helpful for me and for some of the guys as well.
Yeah. And Mr. Chan, if you're listening to us, Paul said he's praying for you to convert. So give us a call, 623-932-3313.
Yeah, Francis Chan, actually, he has an interesting... So he borderline believes in the Eucharist. And so that's his big thing. And so at the Alpha Conference, like, he's just explaining, how wouldn't we almost, believe in the Eucharist? So there's a lot of division there. But yeah, he's a great man.
Yes, he is. And I'm a great man of faith. He was going into China at that time of the conference, mm-hmm. quite literally in faith. We've got to go. We're called to go.
Amen.
There. Wow. I mean, but, yeah, that is another... I forgot about that, but you're right.
It blew my mind when he was talking, because he gave a talk at the conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Father Mike Schmitz was there too, and he was giving an explanation of why we bless ourselves. So there's this whole room of both Protestants and Catholics, and he invited them, he explained everything, and you're sitting next to one of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and they're blessing. They bless mm-hmm. themselves in the name of the Father, the Son.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
I'm seeing that increasingly here in the West Valley at some of the ecumenical prayers that we offer and that we gather together with Baptists and our Protestant brothers and sisters. They are signing themselves, and I know from some very good friends of mine who have become Catholic that the Eucharist was a main draw. I mean, that sounds so mundane to say it that way, but they understood what we as Catholics believe and know to be true, is that if this is truly the body and blood, soul and divinity, the presence of the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, here, I can see him, I can touch him, I can taste him, and most importantly, I can receive him into my body, and he lives there with me. That is mind-blowing.
Yes.
That is mind-blowing. And you're right. Anybody who is a thinker starts to ask, well, it's either true or it's not. If it is true, I got to do this. And the only way you can do it is to become a member of Christ's body, the Catholic Church. So
that's right.
Again,
that's
right. Give us a call, Mr. Chan. Anybody who's listening to us who would like more information on the Eucharist or how to become Catholic, we're always here, ready to answer your questions and help you come to the church.
Amen. That we are.
We'd love to have you.
That shout out goes to you guys on Friday morning. So, you know, if you're listening to this, guys, I invite you to really consider that. You're a great bunch of guys, and you'd be great at being Catholic as well.
That's awesome. The pros, those professional prayers. I love it.
So if either of you know, I do have one question. Mm-hmm. So John was baptizing, right? So people were baptized. A lot of people were baptized.
John the Baptist was baptizing.
Yes,
Jesus came to him and was baptized by John.
So baptism is when we receive the Holy Spirit, but then we fast forward, right? To Pentecost, this breathing and sending down. So what does that look like? Does that mean that they had received the Holy Spirit at that point and they didn't receive the Holy Spirit yet at that baptism?
Well, and we'll throw even one more little fun memory from the early church on the day of resurrection when Jesus entered the room where the apostles were hiding. It says he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So they did, in fact, have the Holy Spirit even before Pentecost.
Okay.
Although, and of course, we remember from the Gospels that the day that Jesus went to John knew that this was pretty crazy. Because, of course, as Paul mentioned earlier, John's perspective was he must decrease so that Jesus could increase. Because John's one job from the moment he was conceived in Elizabeth's womb was to point to Jesus. A fun aside is that in Istanbul, Turkey, if you ever get the chance to go over there, I had the chance while I was studying abroad to go to Topkapi Palace. This is where the Ottoman emperors lived. And they have this long, bony relic. Actually, it is just the arm, and I don't know the bones, but from your shoulder down to your fingertips, all the bones of this arm were displayed. No other part of the skeleton, just the arm, and it was the bones, and it had one single finger pointing. And I got up there, and they did have a little English translation of the Turkish, and it said that this was the arm of John the Baptist.
Hmm.
And I realized as I was in this Muslim Ottoman museum looking at this relic, and I like to believe that it was really John the Baptist's arm. The reason he had that one finger pointing was that that was the most important role of John the Baptist. He pointed out the Lamb of God and said, behold, there he is. And so when he comes to John and says, I've got to be baptized, John recognized, yeah, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I am not worthy to untie your sandals. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing to you, but I'm not more important than you. And Jesus says, as we know, let this be as it's written. Let us do this and don't worry about it, essentially.
Essentially.
And at that moment, when Jesus goes down into the Jordan, he does not have original sin to be washed away, right? He is the body of Christ, so he's not being incorporated into the body of Christ. And those are two of the things that happen when we're baptized, right? We're cleansed of our original sin, and we're brought into the body of Christ. We die with Christ. We rise with him. He didn't need any of that, but that he may sanctify this moment and set the example for all of us. And in that moment, the heavens opened, and it said that the Holy Spirit hovered above them, right? And we see this depicted often with a bird, a dove, hovering above John and Jesus in the River Jordan. And that's the Holy Spirit present. The voice from heaven of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. I love him. And I don't know that we would say the Holy Spirit came down and only hit on Jesus at that moment and flew away. Or that he came on the afternoon of the resurrection to give peace to the apostles, but then went away and then reappeared as tongues of fire 50 days later. But we don't really worry about it as Catholics. When did we, you know, when was the first moment that people got the Holy Spirit? The really important truth is that the Holy Spirit with Jesus, with God the Father, is the one true God present, offered to us freely and with love, lives in us, and he's so often really present in those moments of Jesus's life and the disciples' life.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Always so present with Jesus, because of course the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son.
Thank you for that, Father. Thank you.
Just something I was pondering. Yeah.
That's a really good pondering. I was just like, what am I going to grab for dinner tonight? Delilah's like, what's the truth of the scriptural relevance?
Just because I'm in school, you know, I got school.
I love it. I got school.
It's a good question.
Awesome. Well, Paul, we're glad that you're here with us today. Can you tell us, you're involved with a lot of the parish in terms of like leadership. What are some plugs, right? What are you, that you can invite people to, whether it be men, like men's fellowship, some information on that. I know you're involved with the Legion of Mary, how people can get involved with that as well. And anything else you're involved in?
Certainly. Absolutely. So this on, we're already starting OCIA, which just hit our little open house. So if you know someone who is not baptized Catholic, or they're wanting to receive their sacraments and yet have not received them all, that is maybe they have not received their first Holy Communion, or they have not been confirmed, to please call the formation office, because we also are going to do adult catechesis for those who are baptized. And that starts on October the 3rd at 7 p.m. And I believe the conference room, the JP2 room in the RE office. The Men's Fellowship meets on every Saturday and every Thursday. On Saturday, we meet after 8 a.m. Mass from 9 a.m. until 10:30, and we're here in the Sacred Heart House, and then we have one day where we do breakfast together. The men at 7 p.m. until 8:30. We generally meet here, kind of do one night social out as well. The Legion of Mary meets in the Sacred Heart House, and that is from 6:30 until 8 o'clock, and we meet weekly on Mondays. I probably said that. We are always looking for folks to help us out at Mass, whether as lectors or extraordinary ministries of Holy Communion, ministers of hospitality. We're always looking for that. And I believe that's everything I can remember in my old brain here. So
that was a lot. That was good and perfect. And if you don't know where the Sacred Heart House is, We're directly across the street from the church. We're the second house, and you'll see the image of the Sacred Heart on a stained glass window.
Thank you, Delilah.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, you also do have a little side hustle, right. And this is fascinating to me. What do you sell online?
I have always had an interest in vintage baseball cards. And through my relationships through my old business, found out that people needed help selling these. And so that's what I do. I help people sell vintage baseball cards and memorabilia and basketball and football. And that's what I do.
Where can they find you?
So right now on eBay.
On eBay.
And my store name is Arizona Card Collector with K. So it's Arizona K-A-R-D K-O-L-L-E-C-T-O-R.
Awesome. Yeah, take a look, guys. There's some really, really interesting stuff there. And I got to tell you, if you've been wondering the whole time, it is true. Paul has an Ohio accent, as I do, because his roots are from the Buckeye State like mine. So yes. Glad to have another Paisan on here.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, from the great Cincinnati, Ohio area.
That's awesome. And you're also evangelizing, right, on eBay?
We had a couple of guys who are disabled vets that in the course of conversation in dealing with them as clients found out that they needed prayer. They were struggling with health primarily or PTSD or whatever it may be. And so one thing leads to, sure, I'll pray for you. And then you get to know each other with a little more of a deeper relationship as a result of that. And then, you know, where's your faith as you're going through this? It's a good question I like. Thank you, Jason, for that. That's my buddy on Friday. But it's where are you? Where is your faith as you're dealing with this struggle? And I tell you what, that opens a lot of doors, good and bad. But that's the beauty of being able to evangelize in that moment.
That's awesome.
You get for people to have a little bit of an outlet to share, that's amazing.
All through eBay. You're going to be the patron saint of eBay.
Yep. There's probably already one.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, again, thank you for having us on today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having it. It's wonderful to be able to sit across from both of you. I'm sorry Esme couldn't be with us, but it was great to be here with you. Thank you.
No problem.
I know she's listening, so hey.
Hey. with that being said, would you like to end us in closing prayer?
I'd love to. So we've been talking about St. Paul the Apostle a few times today, and let's just pray to St. Paul. He's in heaven. He hears us, and he's interceding for us in front of the throne of God. Paul, you have guided the church in your writings, in your witness, in your zealous commitment to the gospel since the earliest days of the church. And now you intercede for us in heaven. We ask you bless your namesake, Mr. Paul Lawrence, and his family. Continue to bless our parish, St. John Vianney, here in Goodyear. Bless all those who are coming to know Jesus through your writings and your letters. We ask that you do pray for us to be holy, to be fervent, to be on fire as apostles in the world today. St. Paul the Apostle, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.